Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Today's episode features a photographer I was lucky enough to get to meet last year at the Berkey, and we just had a great conversation as we were on our way to the Cortalopet start, and was just kind of itching to get him on the podcast for a long time here. And I've been following him for quite a while on Instagram, and he's just a great person to follow because he's traveling to all these different places and getting to partner with all these different hosts of short-term rentals, and it's just really cool to see what he's able to go out and do. And you can find John on Instagram at John Crye. That's JonKreye. Again, at John Crye on Instagram. John was just a great person to talk to. And it was fun to get to know him a little bit better because I don't know, when you're on a short car ride, you don't get to hear someone's whole life story or why they got into photography or things like that. But it was great to hear how he got his start in photography, but also how it's changed over the years and the different places that photography has taken him to. John is an award-winning adventure photographer based in Minnesota. Inspired by his love for adventure, nature, and cabins, his passion for experiencing and photographing unique stays started at a young age. John has stayed in some of the most unique and highly desired rental properties across the country, including shipping container cabins, tree houses, dome homes, private islands, yurts, barn homes, and more. When he's not photographing cabins, he enjoys spending time with his wife and his daughter at their family cabin, on a trail, and at the lake. And now, let's get to today's episode.
To hop on a podcast with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I think the last time we talked face to face was probably Berkey of last year.
Yeah, right. That's coming up. When is it this year?
It's the 22nd. So the Berkey Week festivities get started the 22nd of February, and then it goes through Sunday the 26th. So Sunday they kind of wrap things up, but Berkey Saturday's on the 25th.
Couple weeks away then. That's exciting. Yeah, that was awesome. I was pumped to experience that last year. I don't know if I'm gonna make it this year, but quite an event.
Yeah, was that your first time being up for it?
It was, yep.
Yeah, and what was your experience like being someone that didn't grow up in Hayward or things like that? I'd be interested to hear an outsider's perspective on what the Berkey was like.
I was impressed. I was blown away by the number of people, you know, that show up for that event and race in it. Just the festivities, there's such a camaraderie around town. So I thought it was really impressive for small town Hayward, Wisconsin. And I've been there many times in the summer, you know, but nothing compares to that Berkey weekend when I was there, and people are just lining the streets and they've got the snow down Main Street. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what the transformation is like, because even on that Monday, you know, they're starting to get lined up and starting to get like the Berkey Bridge over Highway 63. And then by the end of the week, you're like, this isn't even the same town anymore. There's like 40,000 people here. What is going on?
Seriously, it's wild.
Yeah, and I think a lot of locals are either embrace it or they plan their vacation around the Berkey. So they just head out of town and we're like, all right, let's get to Florida. Let's get somewhere warm and just not have to deal with it.
One or the other. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so you were there to do some photography and things like that. Was that your own personal use or I guess what brought you up for the Berkey?
Yeah, it was. Yep. And was capturing, yeah, just the essence of the, you know, the event, the racers, all the camaraderie around town. So it was really, you know, a fun event to shoot. There's lots of action every direction that you look. And so I was down at the finish line for a while, snapping some photos, which was really fun. And went out to the start the start of it too, which was pretty awesome. There's just so much adrenaline, you know, of everyone who's involved at that start line too. So start and finish are both really exciting places to watch that go down.
Yeah. And just to see like the transformation of their faces, like, you know, from the start, everyone's kind of excited, you know, buzzing a little bit. And then once they get to the finish, like a little more frosty with their beards or, yeah, just a different change in energy level at that point.
Absolutely. Yes. It was pretty wild to see, you know, some of the racers coming across the finish line and they just, you know, fall flat on their faces when they make it through. And, you know, I give them credit because that's a lot of work and effort to exert on your body. But yeah, it's quite a feat to do that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, tip my caps to them because the people that are doing the classic, they're doing 55K and yeah, no thanks on that. I think I'll stick to shorter skis. For sure.
Are you signed up for this year?
I am not. I am just going to do, you know, I've just been enjoying kind of getting out and skiing for the fun of it this year. Sure. Last year I was kind of in like training mode, but this year I don't know. It takes a lot of time to make sure like you're in shape for the race and everything. And, this year it just didn't line up, but, I haven't ruled it out for future years or anything like that, but, yeah, just kind of taking part in the festivities and hosting some friends this year. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Sure, absolutely. You'll make it fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great time. So John, when did you first get into photography? Because I'd love to pick your brain about photography and things like that, just because, I don't know, I've been following you for a while now on Instagram, and it's just been amazing to see some of the places that you're able to get photographs of and where it takes you and things like that. So when did you first get started in photography?
So I started about 10 years ago, actually, when I was in high school. It really just started as a hobby for me. You know, I had a camera growing up and really enjoyed snapping photos around when my family would take trips up north or just around our backyard, things like that. And then, you know, in around junior, senior year of high school, when everyone's thinking about taking their senior photos, you know, I obviously had my camera, so reached out to some friends and say, hey, you want some free senior photos? And had a great time doing a few friends' senior photos and realized, oh, this, you know, actually could be a business maybe. And from there, you know, really started with kind of portraits, weddings, families, engagement photos, things like that. And had fun with that. I'm a people person, so, you know, enjoyed interacting with others and meeting others during those shoots. And then in the last couple of years, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, I've really found a niche of more commercial photography and specifically shooting cabins, Airbnbs, short-term rentals. And I would say that, you know, started around the time when I was in college, when I realized, you know, Instagram was just kind of taking off and getting pretty widespread at that time, and found some pretty cool brands that I thought, hey, maybe they would, you know, do a little trade deal where I could take some photos of their products and they'd send me a free t-shirt or a hat or something like that. And that was really fun. And that's kind of where got the ball rolling for me, where I realized, oh, this is actually, you know, it could be a solid business. And from there, just continued to grow it and reach out to additional companies. And then, you know, more recently I have, you know, a lot more folks reaching out to me these days, just with, the experiences that I've been able to, you know, shoot and places that I've been able to work with. So, it's, you know, it still sometimes feels like, just a fun hobby, but, it's definitely a business for me now. And, it's great because I, you know, it's something that I love to do and I'm really passionate about and always continuing to grow and learn in. But to be able to make money doing something that you love is always a great benefit.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool to see like that evolution take place from when you first began, you know, just taking those senior photos and things like that. And now to be paid to do it and be able to go to all these different places and experience things, that's got to be a pretty cool transformation over the years when you look back.
Yeah, I have to really pinch myself often. I don't know exactly, you know, it wasn't like a 5-step program that I followed, but I just, you know, here I am shooting for some pretty cool companies, and it's taken me to some pretty beautiful places and short-term rental properties to shoot. So I'm very thankful.
What do you think has changed? How do you think photography has changed over the years? So like when you first began to where you are now, what do you think the biggest change has been?
You know, honestly, I think leveraging the use of social media has been huge for my business.
Yeah.
And like I had mentioned, you know, I kind of started this when Instagram was just kind of taking off about 10 years ago. And there weren't really many influencers. There weren't really, you know, all these brand deals happening like you see literally every day now when you're scrolling through Instagram.
Right.
And so I think that's only benefited me, really. The timing was really right for me that there's so much opportunity out there. And it really has all mostly come through, I mean, a lot word of mouth, but a lot of it has come just through social media. People see my work, they like it, they reach out, and you know, we start conversations that way. So I would say just the evolution of social media, being able to have, you know, brands share my work on their pages, do collaborative posts, you know, all kinds of different ways that I'm collaborating with these different brands and showcasing my work across social media platforms. That has really helped my business to grow.
Yeah. And what I think is really interesting is how on Instagram, like your portfolio, especially if you're somebody that does photography professionally, your like portfolio is always viewable. People can see like kind of what your style is and things like that, and what you tend to take photos of. And I think that's something that's really unique to that platform, especially for people that do this professionally. It's really cool to see, I don't know, all the different places that they've either been or events that they photographed and things like that. So I think that's been a real game changer as well. But also, yeah, just being able to communicate with other people and companies and things like that. Like people that were doing photographs, like taking pictures back in like the 80s have just got to be pretty jealous of being able to like communicate so easily now. Like they probably had to, yeah, really be in the right room at the right time back then.
Seriously, it's just too easy now. No, but it really is. It's an awesome community that, you know, I've found it to be a very supportive, you know, community of it, both, you know, in just the photography world of other photographers who are doing similar things, but also, you know, in my niche of cabin and short-term rental properties, so many of those hosts and cabin hosts who have their own Instagram pages connect and just support each other. They, you know, they recommend, you know, my services if they've, you know, had a good experience to other cabins, and word spreads that way. And so it really is, it's such a unique dynamic because social media can be a very, you know, divisive and kind of, you know, sad thing to watch in some ways, where it feels like people aren't engaging with each other as much in person. But in some ways, it's also a really beautiful thing for, you know, for me, it's brought me many great friendships and business partnerships and opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise had.
Yeah, just that community that you're able to create with it, depending on, yeah, how you choose to use it. Some might choose to use it in a, like you mentioned, a divisive way. But if you're using it to its fullest potential, you're able to, yeah, make lifelong friends through it and partner with each other on different projects and things of that nature. So I think that's really cool that you're using it for that. And so much great greatness has been able to come from that and the experiences that you've been able to have too.
Definitely.
I guess the question that I have for you is like, what has been one of your favorite places that you've traveled to while you've been doing your photography?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, this business has taken me all over from, you know, Hawaii to Vermont to Alaska and many more places. And it's so hard to narrow it down. But, you know, one of my favorites that'll always stick with me would be a place in Alaska called Shearwater Cove. And it's an awesome, pretty young couple that created this. They bought a piece of land outside of Seward, Alaska, that was kind of off grid, and it's right alongside the ocean, and you actually have to take a boat to get there. There's no roads that lead to this place.
Interesting.
Drive to school. Yeah, it is interesting. Yep. So very remote, not for everyone, but I loved it. So you drive to Seward, Alaska, you get on a water taxi, as they call it, and take about a 30-40 minute boat ride, and they drop you off on a dock, and there's three little yurts sitting on the mountainside, and it's just the most gorgeous, mountainside full of towering pines. You're looking out over the ocean, and then there's this quaint little yurt, and they have an outdoor shower. They've got, their own private hiking trails, which overlook these amazing bays. We saw whales breaching as we were on our water taxi ride out there, and it was just, as serene as it gets, I think, that there's no noise. There's just, nature and you. And so we did some kayaking out there, which was amazing. Saw a bunch of starfish and otters and all kinds of wildlife. And so that one was just, so memorable. It's super unique, and I'll really never forget that trip.
Yeah. And to have those memorable experiences, and you're probably trying to photograph so much of it because it's so beautiful, but you're also probably trying to take a break too and just soak it all in, because I don't know, you just want to be present in that moment as well as you're getting these beautiful shots too.
Absolutely. That's something that I, over the years have had to learn to do. It can be so exciting to capture beautiful shots and, be overtaken by just taking as many photos as you can. But in the last few years, I've realized what a, you can really miss out on so much if you are just focused on getting these photos. So I do really try and be intentional with my time and, capture my photos and enjoy that, but also make sure I have time set aside to just be present and enjoy the space that I'm in, because there are some really amazing sights and, scenery to enjoy and experiences to just sit in and be in, when I'm out on these shoots.
Yeah. And things that you can take away from that experience, like, I remember this shot, but also I remember the person that was next to me, and now I had a great conversation with them afterwards, or there was something mm-hmm. funny where I was like people watching, but I didn't necessarily like capture it, but I don't know, things that you can connect with that experience, I think are pretty cool too.
Absolutely.
And is there something that you enjoy the most about your profession?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much that I enjoy about it. I think a couple things come to mind. One is being able to, capture images and content in a new light that some of these property owners have never, they'll look at my photos and they might have owned a cabin for 10 or 15 years, but haven't seen it, in this, in the light that I captured. And so they're really surprised and amazed. I just had a shoot the other week where, the property owner literally was brought to tears by some of the photos, because she, obviously had poured her heart into the property and worked so hard to get it up and running. And to see it captured in a new light, it was some drone photos, from above that she hadn't seen this perspective before. And it was, it just made her emotional, which is so rewarding for me that I'm able to share that with these folks who obviously hold these places so dear to their hearts. So I would say that's definitely one of my favorite parts about it. And then, another favorite part is just truly getting to experience so many new destinations and special places that I wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to do. Some of these properties are very spendy, and some luxury properties that I shoot and wouldn't necessarily always just drop several hundred dollars to go,
right,
stay at some of these places. But when I'm getting paid to do it, it gives me that opportunity. And so to be able to bring, I'll often bring family, friends, my wife and daughter along to these shoots, and to just make special memories in these really beautiful places is something that I'll always, cherish in my life. And to be able to share that with my daughter, I've got an 8-month-old daughter, Lakin, as she continues to grow up, will be really special to be able to share these, spaces with her.
Yeah, most definitely. And how do you juggle being a father and a husband and also doing a lot of this travel photography?
That's a great question. It is not see.
I could imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, the timing is, something after you have a kid, and I'm sure anyone who is a parent knows that your life changes quite a bit after having a child, specifically with your time and how much free time you have and how much planning has to go into, you know, just some of the most basic things that you are used to doing very easily. And so, you know, it has had to shift since I've had the baby join our family. You know, I would say it slowed me down a little bit, and she is definitely my priority. And, you know, obviously I'd love to go out every single weekend and as much as I can to a new property and travel, but that's obviously not necessarily something that works for our family anymore. So I've had to slow down, but it's been great because parenting is such a joy, and to watch her grow up and learn and smile and start to crawl is just, it's such a blessing and so worth it to stick around. But like I said, I am, you know, we try as much as we can to bring her with and bring my wife with to these trips so they can both be a part of these memories that I'm creating as much as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, kind of going back to like while you're taking these pictures, but you're also able to now when you have them along, they can pull from that time as well with you.
Absolutely. Yep. They'll, you know, like I had mentioned, Lakin will hopefully, you know, have some very fond memories as she's growing up of some unique cabins and learn to appreciate the outdoors and appreciate meeting new people and other creatives and, you know, some really, you know, some of my, another favorite part of this job is just meeting the hosts and creators behind all of these cabins and short-term rentals, because there's some amazing stories really that go into many of these places that, you know, many people just think of as an Airbnb, but people do, you know, put their heart and soul, and there's all kinds of amazing stories behind them.
Yeah, I could imagine it'd be pretty incredible to sit down and talk about like the dreams of these owners and things like that, or how this came to be, or maybe it was passed on through the generations, and you're able to hear some of these amazing and incredible stories that they have while you're taking these pictures. So that's got to be pretty special as well.
Definitely.
And you've recently put out a book called Up North. And can you tell us about that a little bit and what that process was like?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a couple months now, like early December of last year, I released my first book. It is a hardcover coffee table style book called Up North, Getaways of Minnesota and Wisconsin. And it is about a 150-page book, mostly full of images, all photos that I've taken during my travels. And they're all cabins, short-term rentals, properties that can be rented out. And they all are either in Minnesota or Wisconsin. And it was really fun to put together. This is something that, you know, I've kind of had an inkling and a dream of doing for quite a while, but never was really too serious about it. I thought, you know, every once in a while I'd think, oh, how cool would it be to put out a book and create a collection of all my images. And you know, more recently in the last 8 to 10 months, I decided, you know, when else am I going to actually pull the trigger on this? Let's see if I can actually make it happen. And so had some really wonderful help from a graphic designer to you know, put together the layout and help me choose fonts and colors and the design of the actual book. And my uncle, who is actually an author, helped me, you know, understand what the process would really be like to publish a book. I had no idea. And of course, it was many more hours and harder than
yes.
I thought it initially would be, but I made it happen, and I am very proud to have that. I have it out, and I'm just truly have been blown away by the support. I created the book really for me, because I wanted a place for, you know, to collect all of my favorite images of some of my favorite stays, and I thought it would be really neat to have this kind of curated collection of some of my favorite spaces. And so I wasn't you know, putting it out to make money or to get it all over the place. But I have been very just thankful and blown away by so many, you know, local and from afar people supporting. And it's, you know, so it's now in, I think, about 15 different shops, local shops around Minnesota and Wisconsin. And many, many people have purchased it for their cabin, for their home, for their short-term rental. So I'm just, yeah, I'm very thankful. And it is really fun and rewarding to, you know, to have this book of all of these memories that, you know, every time I look at one of the images in the book, it just brings back a memory of that place where I stayed. And I also think it's really special to have just a physical, you know, copy of all of these images, because I post a ton of photos on Instagram and social media. And it's great to see them there, but there's definitely a difference when you hold a photograph or a book in your hand and are looking at it, a photograph physically. It's a different experience.
Yeah, just having that tangible thing in your hand. I kind of liken it to, I don't know, a lot of music now is on streaming services like Spotify or Apple Music, but being able to have records in your hand, I don't know if there's something just nice about having that physical copy and say like, right, this is real. This is not floating around in a cloud somewhere. I have this in my home, and being able to, have that to look at. And like, this isn't going away anytime soon. That as long as I have this, you know, it's going to be around.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think your book is going to, I love the design of it and everything like that. And I was recently given a Amazon gift card. So I purchased your book. So it should be on its way soon. One of my students gave it to me. So looking forward to having that on the coffee table here at our house here in Hayward. And I think it's just, going to find a lot of cabins and things like that. And people from that are visiting maybe from outside of the Midwest and get to really experience the beauty. Because I think the Midwest or Wisconsin and Minnesota are pretty underrated. A lot of people say like, oh, you have to go out to Colorado to experience all these beautiful views, or go out to California or Wyoming or you name it. And I think there's so much beauty to be found up north. And I think your book really showcases that.
Thank you. Yes, I 100% agree. You know, being able to travel to so many of these different destinations to shoot has opened my eyes to the amazing beauty, in our own backyard. You don't have to go very far, and there are some very special places. Yes, just within, you know, even a 5-minute drive or an hour drive, there's bright scenery and some amazing vacation rentals in our own backyard.
And it all changes too, depending on the season, because I don't know, something you experience in the summertime might look completely different in the wintertime, but you can do, let's say there's skiing trails nearby or something like that, where you can, I don't know, just have those different things to go and do, those different adventures and activities that space really brings out.
Absolutely. I always say I could never live somewhere without all the four seasons, because it's just exciting. It always brings excitement when a season changes. And you're right, there's so many different activities to do in each of them. And so I love living in a place where it's the outdoors are constantly changing.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you have a favorite season you like to photograph?
Yeah, that's another great question. I would, if I had to pick, I mean, I truly do love them all. That's why I love living here in Minnesota. But if I had to pick, probably fall. And I think it's so special because it is such a short time frame when those fall colors light up, the oranges and the yellows just pop. And actually this last fall, I was out on a shoot, doing a couple properties out in Vermont, right during their peak fall color season. I was very lucky to hit it just at their peak, and it was just incredible. You know, photographing one of the properties was just, it was literally perched a cabin on top of a mountain with 360 degree views of surrounding mountains and no other homes or any civilization in sight.
Oh my gosh. Was,
amazing to photograph and just have a campfire on the top of that mountain with all these fall colors and just crisp, cool air. That was amazing.
Yeah, going there right now in my mind and just trying to, you know, after all these long, cold January days, sometimes you got to take a little trip in your mind to those simpler times. And I don't know that. Yeah, that seems ideal. Like maybe, especially if you're in Vermont, you know, making some like pancakes and having some their syrup.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That'd be ideal.
It is. So time to start planning your next trip to Vermont.
We do have to get out there. We haven't, my wife wants to hit all 50 states by the time we're 30. And so she's got to hit up the east side mostly. Got some places out like the Pacific Northwest that she hasn't been to. But yeah, definitely need to make our way out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if you had to... if you could go back in time and photograph an event, what would it be and why? This is, I don't know. I didn't prepare you for this question, but if you could go back in time, I just kind of thought of it. If you could go back in time and photograph an event, what would it be?
That is a great question. Back in time. Oh, man. You know, I would probably say when, you know, I think it would be really special to see my parents' wedding, actually. I think that would be, you know, it's completely different from what I, you know, typically shoot now, but just to see, you know, obviously family is very important to me, and so to be able to experience that day, where, you know, I am so appreciative of my parents. They're amazing people, and they have inspired me, you know, so much of my love for the outdoors and travel, and just really a lot of what I've become is because of them. And so, you know, they love each other very much and are a huge role model for me. So I think, it would be really special to go back and photograph their wedding, and not necessarily just to get the shots, but to actually experience that day.
Right. Yeah. Just to probably, yeah, get all of your family's perspective and things like that too, would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
I like that answer. Because, you know, some people would probably say like, oh, well, I'd want to be at like this concert or this sporting event. But I think that's really special that you said your parents' wedding. That's cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So how, I guess a question for you too is like, a thing that a lot of photographers might struggle with is like, how do they set themselves apart from other photographers? Because like, you don't want to chase trends or things like that. And I just saw something today on your Instagram story about like how you're, I don't know, you don't try to like just take pictures that are Instagrammy or try to chase a trend kind of thing. So I guess, how do you set yourself apart from other photographers?
In this day and age with, you know, I guess one of the downsides of social media would be, you know, just trying to blend into what everyone else is doing, or
right,
seeing, you know, seeing a piece of content that goes viral or performs really well and trying to recreate it. So it's something that I try and be really intentional about, especially recently, just because I know it, you know, social media can be kind of a trap in some ways, where you do just your thoughts and intentions behind creating photos and content become solely for the purpose of Instagram and trying to get it to perform well. But I would say I differentiate myself or try and, you know, kind of blaze my own trail, by, you know, just having authentic moments in these spaces that I'm in, not necessarily having expectations of every shot that I'm going to take or what a shot might look like, when I'm going on a vacation or traveling somewhere. But just letting, you know, being present in these spaces, like I had said before, having a good balance where, you know, maybe I am just taking time to enjoy the outdoors and going out kayaking, and I bring my camera with, and if an opportunity presents itself, then great. Being able to just go with the flow and, you know, just taking in a space for what it is first, rather than just getting excited and snapping a bunch of photos, which is, I think, kind of what I used to do really, is just, I would get excited. I'm at a beautiful place. I need to take lots of photos and hope one of them will turn out really good. But I think my perspective has kind of changed recently, to be more intentional, and with my time there, truly being fully present and just enjoying the space and allowing it to to show me what, you know, what's to come and what photographs might be able to be captured there. So that's, I would say, how I kind of differentiate myself a bit.
Yeah. And kind of letting those moments happen organically rather than them being staged or, I don't know, you're going to stand here, you're going to stand here. I don't know. I mean, it feels, yeah, it would be, I don't know. I think like it can be awkward or feel, I don't know, just weird if you're setting up that moment rather than, I don't know, just capturing like some people going on a walk or people laughing around a campfire. And it's like, not because of, I don't know, you're telling them to laugh, but they're actually laughing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just letting those moments happen. 100%. I'm with you there.
Yeah. All right. I think the next question I have for you is, what have been some of your, I guess, going back to your experiences up north and capturing those moments? You said you used to visit Hayward before the Berkey. That wasn't your first time up in Hayward, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
So what are some of your fondest memories of Hayward? Being the Northerner, I have to ask these questions.
Yeah, great question. You know, we as a family growing up when I was a kid, my parents would always rent usually a cabin every summer up north, either Hayward or up in the Brainerd area or Minocqua, somewhere northern Wisconsin or Minnesota. And we'd, you know, hook up our little boat trailer to the back of our car and make, you know, a week of just fun in the sun at a lake somewhere up north. And so I would say one of the things that I most fondly remember is Tremblay's, the candy shop in Hayward. It's always very fond memories for me because we'd go in and, you know, as kids, just try and stuff our bags as full as we could with as much candy as we could. And eat, you know, eat that on the whole week that we were up there and on the car ride back. So, that's definitely a fun, memory. So every time I go back to Hayward, I have to stop into the candy store.
Yes.
And then just, you know, being at these quaint little cabins, like I said, we'd go out boating. Oftentimes they were on a lake. And so those are some great memories too, whether we were going tubing or watching the sunset out on the water. There's just something special about being at the lake, on the water, swimming, you know, in the summer. It just seems like such a classic Wisconsin or Minnesota thing to do. So I've got lots of those memories from the Hayward area over the years.
Yeah, I'm glad you're able to have those experiences because I think that's what makes the Hayward area so special is just all those things you're able to do, not only in the summer and, I mean, having that Tremblay's experience. I think, I mean, it's fun seeing all the different people come up and experience what Main Street has to offer, but also being able to take in what it has recreationally to offer. So whether you're out on the lake or whether you come up here in the wintertime, again, all four of those seasons, there's something to do. If you're bored up here, you're doing something wrong, I think.
100%. Yes. There is no shortage of great things to do in Hayward.
Yeah, we may not have the fastest internet, but you know what? There's other things to be getting done.
Absolutely. Sometimes those places without internet or connection are the best places to be because you're just even more present with the people you're around.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're like a old cabin or something like that, and they have some board games tucked away and you're like, all right, well, we haven't played Sorry in about 10 years, so let's break this out and see what we can make of it.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Create some very fond memories that way.
Yes. Just as long as they're not breaking out Monopoly. I feel like Monopoly really tests friendships and relationships. So word to the wise, don't play Monopoly if, I don't know, if things are going really well, do not play Monopoly. That might be the breaking point.
It can be. Absolutely. It's an intense one.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, speaking of those times at cabins and things like that, you have a retreat coming up here in March. Can you tell us a little bit about your retreat?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the, as I was mentioning before, Instagram has been a great way to build community for me and many others in the industry. And, actually last fall I hosted my first retreat for other photographers, creators, to get together and do what we love together, to learn from one another. I think, as I'd mentioned before, one of the downsides of Instagram can be, you know, viewing everyone else as competition and not really making authentic connections. And so I had the idea of why not set up a time to meet some of these other creators in person. And so I hosted my first last fall, actually down in Ohio, and there were about 8 of us guys that got together, and it was just awesome. You know, we all came in as strangers. Never a single one of us had met one another, and we we left as great friends. Seriously, we've got, you know, one of our guys from Ohio has since flew out to California to visit one of the other creators who was at the retreat, and we continue to keep in contact with one another. We captured some awesome photos and just made some really fun memories together while we were there. And so I thought, you know, this went really well. Let's do it again. And so I've got another crew of some awesome, very talented creators and photographers who are coming up. This one's going to be just outside of Duluth in March. And it's going to be a really great time again, where we can learn from one another, kind of share ideas in the industry, share some insights. You know, how do you edit photos? How are you getting your business? Let's talk about some of those things to actually help one another that are maybe not necessarily talked about or shared very much on social media. And then, you know, time together in person is just, it's such a game changer when you can actually, like I say, create memories together and learn from one another and build these strong bonds and friendships. It doesn't happen super often, I think, in these communities. And so I'm excited to just be able to, you know, have an avenue for some of these people to, like I say, build these bonds and learn from one another and just make some awesome memories together. So I'm really, looking forward to it.
Yeah. I could imagine that's amazing that you're doing that. And I think that's so important to have that too, where you're creating this community and creating a space where people can share their thoughts, ideas, but not have like this, I don't know, cutthroat like environment where you, I don't know. You view everyone as competition, but it's really cool that you're creating that space and allowing that thing to take place where, these friendships are being formed where otherwise the paths never might have crossed or anything like that. But just being able to share experiences and stories and make memories along the way, I think that's something that's really valuable. And I just think that's great. And it didn't work out that I'd be able to join you on this one, but I'd really love to join one of these times that you do another one.
Yes, we'll get you on the next one for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see, like, I don't know, I'm sure you'll share footage from that weekend and stuff like that. So it'll be cool to follow along.
Definitely will, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know, again, you have a little one at home. But the final question I have for you is, what are some events or things you'd like to photograph in the future?
Absolutely. So many things. But, my wife and I lived in Alaska for a year, and that was before we had the baby. And we haven't been back since for a couple of years. So I would say definitely on our minds is to make a trip back up there. And actually, we're kind of in the midst of planning one for this coming summer and have some exciting partnerships that I'm working on right now as far as photography goes for our time while we're up there. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's such a special state in this country. And we just had, you know, an amazing experience while living up there, being able to explore glaciers and do some incredible hikes, see some amazing sights and wildlife. So we've just been, ever since we left, just anxious to get back at some point. So we're really looking forward to that. And specifically, at some point, I would love to photograph the Iditarod sled dog race up there. When we lived up there in 2020, they did have the Iditarod. It was kind of during the height of COVID, but they didn't allow, you know, very many spectators. So I actually tried to, sneak my way in.
You're in like a ghillie suit and you're just crawling along in the woods.
I didn't quite take it to that level, but I did drive a couple hours all the way up to Willow, Alaska, where the start of the Iditarod happens. And unfortunately, they weren't allowing, you know, any public or photography, you know, other than very few people actually into the starting line. So I was like literally outside of the gate.
Oh, man. That's heartbreaking.
So at some point, I would love to actually get up there to experience and watch the Iditarod Slug Dog race and photograph it too.
Yes, that'd definitely be a special thing for sure. And yeah, excited for you guys' trip up to Alaska. I think so. In the summertime, that's when it's bright out all the time, right?
Yes. Yep. Depending on where you are in the state, you know, it can be anywhere from 20 hours of daylight to truly 24 hours of daylight where the sun never goes below the horizon. So yeah, you've got plenty of time. You can go hiking or golfing at 2 a.m. if you want to. You just never want to go to bed because it's always light.
Yes. Well, yeah, especially for us, I mean, in the Midwest, having such long winters and things like that where it gets dark so early. Yeah, I feel like you'd take full advantage of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be hard to come back to though. It'd be like, the sun isn't going down. What is going on?
It's an adjustment for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I could imagine. Well, John, before we wrap up here, where can people go to find your book or follow you? What's the best way to follow your journey and things like that?
Yeah. So Instagram is probably the best way to continue to follow along with what I'm up to. So you can follow me. It's my name. My Instagram handle is at John Cry, JonKreye. And I've got a link in my bio to purchase my book if people are interested.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely take that in the show notes too. So if people click that link too, it'll take them right to there. So
awesome.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast and just sharing your thoughts and talking about what you've been up to lately. And it was really fun to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. Love that you love Hayward so much and are celebrating all of these great things happening in your neck of the woods. So keep up the great work.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. You take care and have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.